What I wanted to do now was introduce illustrator and artist Steve Musgrave. I was inspired to contact him because I, on occasion, will take the Red Line up to Wrigley Field. And at that station, if you've never been there, there are these amazing, gigantic paintings of Cubs Hall of Famers. There's a Fergie and Ernie and Billy Williams, Ryne Sandberg. And I kind of feel like as you do the hustle and bustle in a crowd of leaving a CTA station, you might not actually take time to appreciate what you're seeing. It might just kind of catch out of the corner of your eye. And I bet there's people, hundreds of people a day, that probably don't even know that stuff is there. So what we wanted to do is just kind of talk about going to that station, making sure that you do step back and take a look at Steve's incredible art. And it's kind of part of the reason why the Sabre Baseball Mac exists, is because we want fans to know about these things. We want people to seek these things out. And we don't want people to just pass by amazing baseball art without taking just even a few seconds to appreciate what went into it. So I just want to introduce Steve. Are you able to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I talk into this. Can you hear me? My name's Steve Musgrave. I'm a Chicago illustrator. I've been working as an illustrator since 1981, I guess. And I do all different kinds of work. I started out doing a lot of stuff for the Tribune. I did airbrush work which turned into digital work, morphed into doing a lot of digital work. And kind of in the late 80s, I got a little burned out on doing digital stuff and started painting. I wasn't like a real well-trained painter. I studied graphic design in school, but I took painting classes. But I really liked doing it, and any kind of picture making was, I loved. So I can tell you how this project kind of started. The CTA had a adopt a station program where they were encouraging businesses to commission artists and people in the neighborhood, different neighborhoods of the stations, to do work that would kind of embellish the stations, that make them a little more interesting and a little more local. A friend of mine was doing, with Ann Sathers, he was doing the Belmont station, and I had been doing some baseball portraits. Like I said, I was kind of a little burned out I was trying to start painting, and so I started doing paintings of a lot of my heroes, and a lot of them were baseball players, and Ernie Banks was the first one. And so I had these kind of caricature portraits that I was working on. And my friend said, you should do your baseball paintings in the Addison Station, see if the CTA would be interested in doing that, in engaging you in doing that. And I contacted someone there, and they said, sure, let's do it. So it was kind of a overshot, like I was doing these little portraits, and then all of a sudden I said, oh yeah, I can do 7 by 10 foot paintings in your station, why not? And they were fine with it, and I gave them some, because I'm an illustrator, so I know how to do things in a professional way that would meet their interest, or make sure they were knew that I knew what was at stake here, and so I showed them sketches along the way, and they were really easy to work with and never batted an eye about what I was doing, and I went ahead and did these giant paintings, and it was quite a project.
So I know that we really couldn't see the map very well earlier, but when you hit a pin, this is what pops up. And you can see the first one here is Ernie Banks. At the top there are those arrows that toggle. And if you toggle to the right, you're going to see the Billy Williams and the Fergie Jenkins and the Ryne Sandberg. But this is exactly what we're trying to do, is get a photograph of each of these so that when somebody visits the map and they pop open that box, they're going to see what they're going to see. So when they get into the place, they're going to recognize what they're seeing. And kind of on the left here is a CTA poster that Steve did for the CTA featuring Ernie Banks and Manny Minoso when they had both passed away that same year. So he had the canvas, and here he is with your dog.
With my dog.
With your dog. So that just gives you maybe a little bit of scale as to the size. I mean, these are life size. They're huge. And if you go to that station and you haven't seen these yet, and you want to, and I hope you do want to, know that the Banks and the Jenkins, the two that are shown here, are going to be on brick walls as you go down the escalator. So in order to see both of them, you're going to have to go down one and then up the other and then come down the other one again. But what I like to do is when I get to Wrigley Field at the Addison stop is I walk south. And if you walk south, you're going to get past all the people that are going down in the throng. And you get this beautiful view of Wrigley Field from the platform. And once everybody's gone, then you have all the time you need to walk down the stairs, stop, admire the paintings, then you could go back up the other side. I don't remember which one is which, but you have to be really careful because if you are going down the escalator and you go out the turnstiles, then you can't get back in. So if you want to see these two, you have to make sure you do it before you go out the turnstiles. And then this one here, Ryne Sandberg, it's tough to get a photograph of this one, and I'll show you the next one too, is Billy Williams, because there's kind of a glare at the doorways there. But I don't know if you can make out, but there's a Cardinals player sliding in to second base there. Mm-hmm. Ryne Sandberg is just about to catch that ball, and is that Ozzie Smith?
Yeah, Ozzie Smith.
Okay, and Ozzie Smith is going to be safer out in the way you painted that.
Well, it's kind of up in the air, but I would say he's out.
Okay, so. Excellent.
It's that moment of, you know, tension. And these, the two wide ones, this one and the Ryne Sandberg one, are on ground level, so you can
right.
kind of see them face to face, and you can see them for free if you're just.
Those are the ones
by.
You could see for free.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're a little more interest. There's a little more going on in them, a little more action. A little more involved. I mean, one of the ideas I had was to make them really fast, like kind of like circus banners, like a quick read. Like you said, people are going through there. They're not, you know, sitting and staring at these things. So I wanted them to read very quickly. But there's a little more detail, a little more going on in the street level one, the eye level ones. So.
Was that anything that was a product of the order in which you did them?
I did the Ernie Banks one first. It's kind
okay.
of the simplest and
okay.
most heroic. And then I think this was the one I did last, or the Ryne Sandberg one I did last, and it has the most detail in it. So
okay.
I think I got kind of warmed up to what I was doing.
Okay, and I love how nonchalantly you're like, yeah, I'm a digital illustrator, but I just painted these by hand. It was easy, right? Yeah, no big deal. So, and the tiny one, not tiny, but the smaller one of Harry Carey there, that caricature, there's a little bit of information then above you in the
right.
station posted too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he passed away while I was finishing the project, and so it totally seemed appropriate to do some kind of tribute to him to include that. And
so how did you decide on how big to make these?
I made them as big as I could fit in my studio. So
oh,
they
cool.
are like floor to ceiling, wall to wall. And one kind of funny thing is I built the frames myself, you know, they're just 2x3s and stretched the canvas because you can't buy, you know, I mean, you can, but it would be prohibitive to buy canvas. So I built them and stretched them and, but made them max out for the space I had. And I thought, well, I can get them out my back patio door, you know, because I have like this patio door. And, but without realizing that, no, you don't have this much space in a patio door. It opens halfway. So I had to remove the entire patio door, which I had installed. So I knew how it went in, but I took it out in February and, you know, took that out, took the paintings out. And that was not in the one you saw with my dog was not in February. I took that out early. That was the first one I did. So that was probably late fall. But Anyway, yeah, the CTA was great. They picked them up and in February they mounted them. And you know, most public art is sculpture or it's mosaic. You know, it's something that'll survive the anything. And paintings are a little bit more fragile, but a lot more fragile, and especially in a public space like that, open to the elements. So the CTA was great, and they built a kind of a track frame around them and plexiglass, so they're still fine, you know.
Yeah, they still look good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the CTA tell you kind of what they wanted?
Not that I remember.
No.
I mean, I kind of remember having conversations with the people, and they were just very supportive about anything I wanted to do. And you know, I've been asked before, the Cubs involved. The Cubs weren't involved, but it wasn't, you know, out of anything negative. I got a call shortly after from the Reader, and they were, after they went up, and there was an article in the Tribune, and the Reader called and said, you know, I saw you did this thing, and what was the deal with the Cubs? And I said, they just weren't involved. I mean, they, you know, and he kind of, are you mad at them? It's like, no, they, you know, why would I? Yeah, that's why I did these, because yeah. I hate the Cubs. And he was kind of trying to get this out of me. And I was like, yeah, you don't have a story. Sorry. It was all good, you know. And so he's like, yeah, okay, well. Whatever. But, yeah, I mean, if the Cubs would have been involved, they wouldn't have hired me because they didn't know who I was. So after I did this, I approached them and said, hey, I did these paintings down there, and ended up getting some work from them, which was really nice. It was very great.
Yeah, so did some program covers?
Yeah.
What else did you do?
I did some program covers. They had a game honoring Harry Carey, the year after he died, and they asked me to do a program cover for that, which was a real honor. And then they had me do, I approached them and said, hey, I can do, you know, I knew they had a history of great program covers that I've always loved, and I'm not putting myself in that category, but I just thought, oh, it would be such a treat to do a program cover for the Cubs. And so I mocked one up, and it was Sammy Sosa on top and an old style ad at the bottom, which was the format of their program covers at the time. But they did hire me to do some, and I just brought a couple of these in here. So there was like the, you know, I did a series of players, and so they were kind of caricatures. Well, they're definitely caricatures, but I worked with, you know, the marketing publishing department at the Cubs, that these tiny offices in Wrigley Field, it was always such a treat to go there, and they were real, again, very easy to work with.
Yeah.
Real supportive. They wanted things to, you know, it, one interesting thing to me in something like this is, like, does Sammy Sosa have to approve this? And I remember my wife saying, you know, they may be as in control of his image as he is, you know, that the Cubs. I don't know if that's true, but it's like, I think they just had to approve it. So I thought that was interesting.
I'm not going to offer any opinions on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so it did lead to some other projects and posters for the CTA, which was fun because it was nice to have a baseball.
As far as the big ones,
yeah.
How long did these take?
I think I had about 5 months from when I started doing them to when they picked them up. So I gave myself a deadline, I believe, of a month for each one. And I was doing my other work, too. I mean, I've always, you know, been busy doing illustration work, and I can't remember exactly what I was working on at the time, but it was probably something.
Okay.
So, you know, I did these at home, and I worked at home at the time, so it's like going from one studio to another, and I could work at night, that kind of thing.
And I guess the burning question for me as someone with no artistic talent whatsoever, on something especially this big, how do you know when you're done?
When you're done?
Yeah.
That's a really good question, and it's hard to answer. A lot of it has to do with experience, and you kind of sense when you're done. I don't know if people write or if I don't know, any kind of creative process, you can never stop. You know, you can just work things into the ground, but a lot of it has to do with your experience. A lot of it has to do with your deadline. And I did set myself up a deadline. Otherwise, you don't want to get into a trap. So I would decide ahead of time, like, I think I'm going to finish it tomorrow. And then I would finish it.
Okay, good.
But a lot of that is feel, I think.
And so these were dedicated, like, with a, like a ceremony?
Yeah. It was opening day of baseball, or the day before opening day for the baseball season in 88, or 98. But it wasn't a home opener. So the Cubs were away. I think they were in Florida. And but the CTA threw this wonderful party, and it was a total surprise to me that Ernie Banks was there, that they had the Little Dixieland band there that cruises around Wrigley Field and plays, and a popcorn stand, and they were serving hot dogs, and it was just like the ridiculous treat. And I had invited some friends of mine that I used to watch Cubs games with, and we were all there just thinking, how in the world did this, you know, who would have thought this is how you get to meet Ernie Banks?
Yeah. It's easy, right?
But yeah, all you have to do is do a bunch of giant paintings. But he was sweet, of course. He was wonderful, and the CTA was very, I think they were a little bit taken with the idea that I had donated this and done this on my own, as opposed to being hired by a business to do this, and that I just decided, well, I would like to do this as a fan, you know, and give myself a big painting challenge. So I think they liked that, and they made it very nice for me. So
yeah, they're amazing. Has anybody actually seen them? Nice. All right. If you haven't and you happen to be at the Red Line Addison station, you got to make sure to take a look. And so here's you and Ernie Banks. He's got his arm around your shoulder.
Yep.
Did he have anything to say about the painting?
Yes. I think there was a quote in the Tribune. I've had this Tribune article that they did a little blurb on it, which was really nice too. And it said something about this is, you know, more exciting than winning the World Series or something. It was like, okay. Well, it was for me, but he was wonderful and gracious. And I think he called me a young man, which was very nice. I was younger then. but yeah, he was just very wonderful, really sweet.
How did you decide on those four players plus Ozzie Smith for some reason?
I was definitely became a fan in of the 69 Cubs team with Ernie Banks and Billy Williams and Fergie Jenkins and others. And I wanted to show batting, fielding, pitching, running. So I also was a huge fan of Ryan Sandberg. I mean, just as who was at that time, the year before he was on the team. But I just loved him and thought he would be a good contemporary person to show. And Ozzie Smith, to kind of commemorate that, the Ryan Sandberg game against the Cardinals. And yeah, I mean, that was such a great game. It was such
amazing.
A great game.
Yes.
And pivotal, you know. And I always, you know, I didn't like the Cardinals, but I always kind of liked Ozzie Smith. And so I thought it'd be fun to have them interacting in a little bit of a way. And Ozzie Smith was base running, you know, as part of the game. So.
So you did some postcards that were actually distributed with the Vine Line magazine, kind of in.
Yeah, when I was doing then. Right, they I think they reprinted some of the covers as postcard, note card things.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the program covers they did.
And is this one of Dusty Baker commemorating him also inventing the fist bump?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can't see it, but he does have a little toothpick in his mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, so they did, I think they did two I did two program covers a year for a while, or for a few years, a couple years. And so there would be the first part of the season and the second part of the half of the season. And so the first half of the season, it was Dusty Baker was a new hire, so they, so that was, to, you know, big hooray for Dusty Baker's here.
And maybe it's just my amateur art knowledge, but is Otis Dorothy Shepherd a inspiration?
Because oh, I'd big see time, some, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Not so much on these, but yeah. The
CTA posters.
The posters were definitely
okay.
Yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, they're just heroes and always have been. So.
Cool.
And of course, did work for the did those early score note cards. I'm sure a lot of you guys have scorecards.
Of course, on my wall in the basement.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're unapproachable, you know, in their beauty and simplicity and like, yeah. I wish I could be half that talented.
Well, I wouldn't sell yourself short there. So I understand there's an interesting story about the Sammy 500 postcard.
Yes, I was. So I believe it was. So I said there were two program covers a year, and the second one was going to be of Sammy Sosa commemorating his 500th home run, and I was painting that in my studio, and honestly, this is a true story. It sounds fake, but I was almost done with that painting for the that was going to be used for the cover for the second half of the season, and I was watching the game. I had the game on, and it was the cork bat game, and which is funny. Everybody knows the cork bat game. So I it was night. I was working on this. I thought, this probably affects what. Yeah. So I called them up the next day, or they called me, and I said, is this, should I put a hold on this? And they said, yeah, I think we're going to change our direction on that one. So they, so it ended up being the Mark Pryor. I mean, Mark Pryor was on, you know, he was awesome that year.
Yeah,
so
this one here.
They ended up, that was the one that I substituted.
Yeah.
Did that really quick, so. But that was fun, because he was such a, I mean, man, I love Mark Pryor.
So I think that was all the questions I have. Is there anything all at all about your process or anything else you think might be interesting?
I don't know. If anybody has any questions, I don't think so. I mean, I ended up doing a lot of painting, not a ton more painting. This kind of painting is real simple and real graphic. I ended up taking some painting classes where I got a little bit more into traditional painting. So it's like every now and then I have to do this again, and it's like, oh man, how did I do that? So it's sort of, I've always liked to work in a lot of different styles. But I really like, I always like this kind of simple, like simple shapes, real direct approach. So it's not that hard to get back into it.
Yeah, so Steve was really nice. He printed up sets of the four paintings that are at the CTA station, and he also printed up a bunch of the CTA posters, and he wants to give them out to people that are here. So
I have some. I didn't know if anybody would want them or how many people would want them. I get asked for these every now and then, but if you're, I don't have that many here. If you're interested, if you want to, you can write your name and address. I'd be happy to send additional things. I don't sell them, partly because I don't think I can, because the interesting thing was with the, like, here's an example of these. The CTA posters. They say Cubs on them. They don't say, you know, National League Chicago Ball Club. And there was kind of a handshake agreement that these were only given away. They were never sold. They were handed out at the station on game days. These are prints I made, but they were only handed out at, and I think part of the thing is I can't sell them because I'm not, you know, not that the Cubs or the Ernie Banks, you know, estate or anybody are going to come after me, but I don't want to get, I don't want anybody to think I'm doing anything out of, you know, untoward. So anyway, they do say Cubs and Sox on when that's appropriate. So, which is kind of neat, you know, it wasn't like that, you know, having to refer to them in the some obscure way.
Right. So anyway. What we thought was there would be a contest. Whoever can guess the answer to this will have first choice, and first choice will be a set of whatever you want. But who knows who the player is depicted on the left?
Corey Patterson.
Who said it first?
Me, Corey Patterson.
Okay, you win. And then I don't know how else to distribute these, Steve, but so generous to bring all that you did. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has any questions for him.
Pardon?
If you have questions, step up to the mic.
Oh.
Steve, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's just my name. It's wait. It might be Steve Musgrave Illustration. No, it's stevemusgrave.com.
Yes.
Yes, it's yes, stevemusgrave.com.
It yep.
Boy, you'd think I'd know. Yeah, it's stevemusgrave.com. There's another illustrator named Steve Musgrave. Like, how in the
how
world?
How is that possible?
I know, how is that possible? Anyway, but his stuff looks nothing like mine.
So. Yeah.
So the geometry of your pieces reminded me a lot of the geometry of the baseball diamond. So whether intentional or not, I thought that was a really cool kind of thing to call. The other one is I wanted to see the Sammy Sosa one you showed earlier. Could you please hold it up again?
Yeah, sure.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
What inspired you to make it, and what do you think of the current state of Sammy Sosa in Cubs fandom and the state of his memory and legacy?
What inspired me was they asked me to do it. The Cubs asked me to do it.
I really like it.
And I was inspired to agree to do it. But although it's pretty much what I did as a mock-up, it was this pretty much this picture when I showed them what I could do. Because he was the top player at the time, and I mean I loved him. I mean I was a huge fan and couldn't get enough of him. And yeah, it's so complicated, and I don't have a firm. I'm not like, oh, I don't want to weigh in on that hot topic, but I just don't know what to think about all that. Honestly, I mean I don't know. Yeah.
That's rude. Don't talk about that.
It's a bummer. It's a big bummer.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about it because I was such a fan.
Victoria.
Hi. So every artist has a process
when
they create pieces of art. Some just go for it. Some actually will sketch out. How did you, for the CTA paintings, because they were so large, did you do smaller sketches and then transfer that onto the canvas?
Yeah. Always start with small sketches, probably just a lot of sketches that you couldn't even tell what's going on. It's interesting that you said about the diamond shape. I mean, I know I'm a big fan of a lot of different art movements, and I love the Italian futurists that are a lot about angles and motion and movement, you know, which hopefully comes through in some of these, that you're kind of exaggerating that drama, you know, in but so a lot of the sketches are just shapes, you know, random shapes. And then it's just a process of refining. And then you don't want to be making a lot of changes in the final thing. You want it pretty much pinned down. I mean, some changes, but you want it to be pretty much pinned down. Plus, I had to show them, like, this is what I'm going to put on your wall. Is that all right? So, yes. Oh, yeah.
So, easy to imagine you were asked to do Sammy Sosa by the team. Corey Patterson, not the best player of all time, but my personal favorite for a strange reason. I got a cameo from him as a gift a couple months ago. Yeah, I'm not kidding. He's my favorite. Now, was he a personal choice of yours, like Ryan Sandberg was, or did they ask him?
No, Corey Patterson was part of this series. So there was, so these, you can see they line up. So one year, I can't remember what year this was, 2002, I want to say, they did four scorecard covers, or program covers, thanks, and they all kind of fit together in a row, and it was their featured players. And so it was John Lieber, Sammy Sosa, Kerry Wood, and Corey Patterson, who they had high hopes for, and who was ridiculously handsome and very fun to draw. I mean, he's a really good-looking guy, so it was like, okay, oh yeah, I'd love to draw him. So that was a series of four. So it was who they were promoting.
Gotcha. I'm sorry. My art question before I got thrown off by Corey Patterson was, so you mentioned Otis Shepherd as being a big part of that. Were there any other artists that you went back to inform your choices here?
I'm a big fan of, early 20th century caricature or mid 20th century caricature artist named Miguel Covarrubias, who is just a genius. And I've always looked at him as, I'm a huge fan of his work. So he's one of my biggest, I swipe from him all the time. But a lot of us illustrators do. He's just a brilliant.
All right, I know Jason's got to get going.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to be super quick. Steve, I'm just going to say you're a hero for all your public art. But thought about how conducive your style would be to Hack Wilson and how the LaGrange Metro stop has no public art?
Yes. I did not ask
him to say
that.
Oh, it'd be great. He would be a great, he would be a very fun subject.
Yeah.
I'll look into that. Thanks.
Sure.
So the CTA right now is going through the Red Line modernization project.
Yeah.
And I don't think Addison Station is impacted by that.
Interesting, yeah.
But in the event that they do redevelop that stop in the future, are there plans for the original artwork?
I don't know. It's interesting you say that because this was, when these went up, it was a brand new station. I used to go to the old, I lived right near Wrigley and used to go to the old, I don't know if anybody here has, the old station was like a barn. I mean, it was pretty ramshackle. So this was new, brand new, and when these went up, and shortly after that, they started doing all these renovations. So it's like, this was kind of the last of the old ones, and as opposed to, so it wasn't in line to be renovated, is what I'm saying. I don't know. I always expect someday to see, like, you know, oh, look what we found in the dumpster behind the CTA station. You know, like those goofy articles. Not really, but just like, I don't think, the CTA wouldn't do that. But unfortunately, the people that I dealt with are long gone, you know. But there's still a, you know, they would obviously know how to get in touch with me. But I don't know. I always think, how have the Cubs not done anything with this? But it's nice to have a little piece of real estate that I kind of feel like is my own in that Ricketts world, you know, that's gone up, you know? It's just so different from it was before. So it's nice to have a little bit of, like, oh, yeah, that's still there, you know?
Well, it's time, so thank you so much, Steve. This has been amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing this.